You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good everybody, welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 3rd of September 2018. Thank you all for tuning in. On this week's program, we're going to be talking about the whole controversy over social justice. Now, before we get into it, I'm just going to explain. I haven't been around for a while. I've been around, I can't remember the last program we did was on, better drag it up there actually, just, I think it was a lot to do with the charismatic movement. I don't know what's going to happen over the next month. Today was my first day of an intensive Greek course, and that will be my priority going forward. It has to be. For those of you not aware, I'm basically now a student for Christian missionary to be a pastor, and that has to be the biggest priority that I have, and preaching and everything else over the next couple of years. However, this will be a busy month because it's basically designed as what I'm doing for the next month is an intensive Greek course. And there's two other students, myself and another student, who are have been accepted. The system kind of for, in our denomination, Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, I'm sure it's probably the same in other Reformed Presbyterian groups. Go through a process, you're accepted first. You have to be a member for at least 2 years of a Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland congregation. And then you go forward to the elders. I've talked about this before in other programs, and if they approve of you, and there might have to be several meetings, it might have to be fewer meetings, it depends. You preach, and then you go forward to the presbytery. If you're not aware, those of you not aware of Presbyterian Church government, there's like three levels of courts, and the local area we call a presbytery. It's basically the elders of all the congregations in that area, and that can vary from denomination to denomination, which calls themselves Presbyterian. And then the big one is the synod, but it's, for us anyway at least, it's the approval is by the presbytery, and then back in, it's been such a long process now, I can't remember the exact month, but it was a few months ago. I think maybe it was March or something like that, February, March, that I got approved. Maybe even April, a bit of a fuzz the whole year, to be under the care of the Southern Presbytery of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. There's similar things done by the Free Church of Scotland continuing, and obviously in Scotland, although they do have congregations in the United States and one in Northern Ireland. Now, so that's happening. So I hope for twice a week, there's about three or four major issues, this being one of them, that I want to deal with in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I don't want to say too much in case I don't get around to doing them, because honestly, I'm going to stick to my own lane. If you've got shows you'd like me to do, megiddofilms@gmail.com, any suggestions, or go to my Facebook page or my Twitter page, Twitter at Paul Megiddo, or you can just type in my name, Paul Flynn. I'm Megiddo, I'm sure it'll turn up in Facebook. Send it on to me. Now, try and make sure it's stuff that's to my lane. Stuff I've been doing for the last 7 years. I'm not going to be going into any new territory. If you want me to do a refutation in regards to Calvinism or Arminianism or something like that, great. Unless some kind of weird arguments that are sometimes you'd see. I sometimes will stay away from that because I need to do some research into those kind of those claims and how best to respond to those things. Sometimes I'll leave things alone. So I appreciate people sending out, because I've been out of the loop, and it's been nice. I'll be honest. I think it's good. Take a trip away from social media. Take a trip away from the internet. Actually, it was kind of imposed on me because I didn't have internet for maybe about 10 days. I can't remember the exact timeline. It got so bad because I couldn't do anything. Now, for those who are not aware, I've moved country, effectively. You wouldn't think it. A lot of people don't even realize it, but the Republic of Ireland, Ireland is a, well, in theory, it's a independent nation, but it's under the European Union. That's another issue. And, you know, Northern Ireland's part of Great Britain. So, as, you know, the entire Ireland island was up until 1921. So, we've effectively moved country, and it's all through, it's all different, and it's all, a lot of different things have to be sorted out here. So, what else? By way of, yeah, I haven't been, so, a lot of things people are telling me, and that's happening. I had no idea. There's stuff happening with the Pope. Talking to a friend of mine there the other day on Skype, and he was telling me something about the Pope, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know that happened. So, but kind of out of the loop, it's been nice, honestly, because you get kind of burnout, and, you know, you get a bit stale, and it's good to have a break. it was supposed to me, and I don't know if I would take it voluntarily. It's probably a bad sign of the way I am. So, keep sending him on, and look, in this whole thing with the social justice controversy, there's so many articles, and there's various different blogs, and there's various different whatevers. Look, I'm not going to be responding. I am not going to cover it as well as some. There's other podcasts I've been listening to. I need to listen to a bit more that are going to cover this better when it comes to the race issue. However, the reason I want to cover it, if it was just about that, I would have left alone. But I think people are missing the point about social justice and what it is. And the whole debate, getting onto our topic now, because I don't want to be, I want to keep this show as, well, to be honest, as short as possible. The issue with social justice isn't really, I've read a bunch of articles, and they're very good, and the points they make are very good. However, a couple of points that they make, I'm going to look at John MacArthur's comments as well in a second, which, no. The whole controversy is like, well, it's, you know, he doesn't say anything particularly controversial in it, or at least you wouldn't think he had. But this is, these are the times we live in, that when he's basically pointing out things that mightn't have seemed so radical at one point, today they are radical, but I suppose this is the time in history we're at. What is being covered in various blogs and articles and stuff like that. Now, you have to give John MacArthur the time because he's bringing out more and more, and I've listened to his sermon, and he's being careful about it, which is a very good thing, okay? You know, a lot of us could learn from that, being careful when it comes to controversies, and certainly men like him and, you know, R.C. Sproul and all those, I've done that over the years. They've been cautious, a lot more cautious than many of us who are on Twitter and all this kind of stuff, and, you know. So don't expect everything in the one article. Give him time, let him release it, but people have gone for the bazooka, especially people who disagree with him, which is astonishing. Nothing really has been, some pretty basic truths have been expressed in these articles, but I digress. I can't believe, I read the articles, so it's like, what's the controversy over? Pretty simple evangelicalism is on display here. At least that's what you would think. Now, so man's sinfulness has been pointed out. A lot of the articles, John MacArthur is included, but it's unfair because John MacArthur hasn't really unveiled all of his argument yet. But this is a kind of, and they're good articles. I'm not knocking them in any way, shape, or form. But however, you know, like, they all point out, there's injustices around the place. Man's heart is the problem, and the gospel is the solution. All true, but they're missing something. And I'm not saying that everybody has to tackle this. It's not necessary even. And what they said was true, and you could leave it at that. However, it's almost like people are taking the premise of social justice, or not really debunking it or whatever else like that. Social justice is not the same as justice. It's not. The difference between justice is, and I know criminal justice systems are going to get things wrong. You're not going to get perfect justice. But however, social justice and justice are apples and oranges. It's an unfortunate term. It constantly is used. It's not anything new, really. Some Christian theologians fell into a kind of a socialism direction, of a kind of a collectivist direction, an unbiblical direction. And it arises from this. And I'm going to go into the Roman Catholic roots as well in a second, because I think it's very important to understand this. Because if you can understand this, I know people have looked into other parts of history, the social justice movements. I have an article in front of me from justthinking.me by Daryl B. Harrison. It's a good article. And he talks about a number of different people from the early 20th century. That's at justthinking.me. And yeah, the blog is, you know, Just Thinking for Myself. Good name for a blog. Now, in this, he looks at early 20th century, all very important stuff, but I'm talking about a bit earlier than that, and even going back even further. Because I want to be very, very careful when I say here, because it's amazing that it's such controversy. And the elements within the church, and I'm sure many of these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure also many of them aren't. And they're joining together in a perceived discrimination that even if true, okay, even if people were treated differently, if you look at slaves in the Bible, in the New Testament, does Paul say in Philemon about, you know, breaking off the shackles of slavery and all this? No. Because the slave, even back then or in any state, in Christ, is much freer than the person who has his human freedom, is not a slave, but does not know Christ. That is the worst type of slavery. A slave to the bondage of your own sin. A slave to your own lusts. A slave, a willing captive of the devil. But unfortunately, what the social justice warrior movement has done, even at its most orthodox end, and we've looked at, you know, Tibidi Anabule and all those kind of guys, right, briefly on this program, even on that end, they've placed such an importance on a perceived grievance based upon a fundamental fact that is not true. This is the fundamental fact that is not true. Everybody deserves, and I'll give you a list here. Everyone deserves food, housing, work, education, access to culture, transportation, basic health care, the freedom of communication and expression, and the protection of religious freedom. Does the Bible give you such rights? You deserve these things. These are fundamental. You deserve a house. You deserve a certain amount of money. You deserve to be free from poverty. You see the war on poverty. The poor will always be with us, unfortunately. And what's it based on? And an analogy would look like this. Go into a room and one person has, I'm going to stick with pounds, I'm in Britain, I'm not going to use, you know, no longer using euros here. Okay, so one person has 10 pounds. The other person has 1 pound. Now, unfortunately, the social justice advocate will look at the person with 10 pounds and say that clearly there's been discrimination against the person with 1 pound. Maybe based on a grievance, maybe a genuine one, over people in the same area as them. But you have to prove theft or something wrong has taken place. You can't just say, because income inequality is seen as something that is wrong because one place is poorer than another. Do I deserve the same amount of stuff as everybody else? No. What do I truly deserve in terms of the gospel? I deserve death and hell. That's what I deserve, but I've been a recipient of mercy and grace. So this is incredibly serious, because what does it do on a fundamental level? Forget about all the stuff. If you say, I deserve, you know, all this stuff, you will become, what, ungrateful. If you're breathing, even if you have nothing else, the Lord has dealt with you in a way far better than you deserve. Now you say, oh, somebody else has done me wrong. Yeah, but what about your crimes before a holy and righteous and just God? Have you not weighed the fact that your crimes, however badly you may have been mistreated, or the group you identify with has been mistreated, perceived or otherwise, even if true, how much greater are your crimes before a holy and just God? Why are they greater? Because he is of infinite value, of infinite worth, of infinite importance. But we, and again, I'm saying it at its most orthodox level, it has elevated social action to what? Alleviate the problems of a fallen world. And included them with the gospel. Is it wrong to feed the poor? No. Is it wrong to clothe people? No. I would also say this. A lot of the times in the Western world, we don't really know poverty compared to the biblical times. So I'll just give this little caveat, because in biblical times, if you didn't give somebody bread, the group, you know, when, you know, of the 5,000 that followed Jesus, they were with him for days. It wasn't like food first and the gospel later. No, the gospel was there first and foremost. They stayed with him. They were taught by him. See the difference in the order. And unfortunately, what we do, and I'm talking about the church at large, at whole, we dangle what will satisfy the flesh in front of them first and foremost, and then try to snare them with the gospel. Not the biblical model, not the biblical way. And often by churches that are Calvinist, but how does it teach a form of Calvinism when the gospel needs techniques in order to get people in? Oh, but such and such a person was saved through such a method. Pragmatism. We need biblical justification for any of the methods we use, but I digress. This quote I get from this, Daryl B. Hassel, not his name, sorry. No, Daryl B. Harrison. Sorry, brother, if you're listening, for mispronouncing your name. Quotes from John Chrysostom, very good quote in this area. And just, again, we're missing the fundamental issue. Social justice is not the same as justice. And anyway, again, the term is misapplied. It's been done throughout the centuries, unfortunately. John Chrysostom says, should we look to kings and princes to put right the inequalities between rich and poor? Should we require soldiers to come and seize the rich person's gold and distribute it among the destitute's neighbors? And again, what's it based on? That if they get more money, it will alleviate the problems of society. If they just have more money, they have more stuff, well, this is my own commentary now, I'm not quoting from Chrysostom anymore, they will squander that, often poor people. Private property is something that is defended by the scriptures. Should we beg the emperor, said Chrysostom, to impose a tax on the rich so great that it reduces them to the level of the poor, and then to share in the proceeds of that tax among everyone? Equality imposed by force would achieve nothing and do much harm. Those who combine both cruel hearts and sharp minds would soon find ways of making themselves rich again. Worse still, the rich, whose gold... And look, think about it. What's wrong with being rich? If you idolize money, that is sin. But to have a lot of money, that's, you've been blessed. Now, I know people think of rich people who abuse it and all this kind of stuff, but they're rich people who bless the church, donate, and all this kind of stuff. Being rich in and of itself is not wrong. If you idolize that, those things, and you depend upon those things, then that is wrong. The love of money, not having money, is the root of all the evil. Worse still, it says, but then again, if you don't love money, you're not going to have as much possession and stuff because you're going to, you know, prioritize. But in and of itself, okay, worse still, Chrysostom went on to write, the rich whose gold was taken away would feel bitter and resentful, while the poor who received the gold from the hands of soldiers would feel no gratitude because no generosity would be prompted. Would have prompted the gift, far from being a moral benefit to society, would actually do moral harm. Material justice cannot be accomplished by compulsion. A change of heart will not follow. The only way to achieve true justice is to change people's hearts first. And then they will joyfully share their wealth. Anyway, you know, like, it kind of, it talks about... Aquinas had a kind of collectivism that the Roman Catholic Church kind of follows to this day. I'm not saying originated with Aquinas. He seems to be has been influenced heavily by the philosopher, otherwise known as Aristotle, to history. The underlying problem with social justice is this. It believes it is wrong for some group to have, you know, to not have the same things as everybody else. It believes not in equality of before the law, that is justice, equality before the law. And if there's a miscarriage of justice, not social justice, justice, then we should try and petition or whatever as Christians or whatever, pray for that, etc. and so on. The MacArthur family, who've been persecuted by the LGBT lobby, and because they refused to put a pro-homosexual slogan on a cake. And that's rumbled on for a number of years. And we should support them for justice. But we shouldn't say, oh, look, the Christians have less money, just say if this happened, the Christians have less money than, oh, I don't know, if you're going to go to the Jews or something. Should we tax the Jews like crazy? I pick the Jews because they tend to be, you know, very hardworking, industrious, and have a normal amount of geniuses among their people. It's just a fact. But do you understand what I'm saying here? This victim status. And when you have this ingratitude, I deserve all these things. Now, when I was quoting these rights that everybody has, comes from the compendium Social Doctrine of the Church. This is, or the Roman Catholic Church. The word social justice was, from what I can see at least, coined by Luigi Taparelli. And this is from Roman Catholic sources themselves. And the compendium Social Doctrine of the Church, this is a Roman Catholic teaching. It's not the only place that teaches it, but it is a Roman Catholic teaching. It says in paragraph 167, last part of the paragraph, everyone also has the right to enjoy the conditions of social life that are brought about by the quest for the common good. Common good is kind of a buzzword for the collective, what's good for society. And who determines that? The state. The teaching of the Pope Pius or the mob in the case of who can generate the most victim status, you know, intersectionality, who should be listened to the most, you know, are you LGBT and of a minority, racial minority, and all this kind of stuff, and who is the new top of the pyramid in terms of victimhood, the victim table? Just skipping on along here, the teaching of Pope Pius the 11 is still relevant. The distribution of created goods which every discerning person knows is laboring today under the gravest evils due to a huge disparity between the few, exceeding rich, and the unnumbered propertyless, must be effectively called back to and brought into conformity with the norms of the common good. This buzzword's not just used in the Roman Catholic Church, by the way. Listen out for it if you're ever reading certain large, shall we say, governmental groups, but I don't have time to follow a lot of this stuff anymore, but I did years ago. Back to and brought into conformity with the norms of common good, that is social justice. That now, in the compendium of the social doctrine of the church, it was the poor who were being, you know, it was being unjust towards the poor. It says in paragraph 169, this, and again, this is official teaching, this is magisterial, says at the back of this, the church social doctrine starts from God-given dignity of each person. And it says, now for the first time, that doctrine has been distilled in a single compendium compiled by the Vatican Council for Justice and Peace. It's an official teaching. This is magisterial. It says it is designed to stand alongside the Catechism of the Catholic Church as an authoritative summary of the Church's teaching on what makes for human flourishing. And if I just, I think I've got a quote here. Yeah, it talks even in the introduction. The gap between the less developed and rich people is widening, or, you know, the gap between rich and poor. They point out all these kind of things. Typical stuff that you hear from socialists and Marxists. And it says in the introduction to this, this doctrine offers a complete overview of the fundamental framework of the doctrine corpus of the Catholic social teaching. Now, again, this goes back centuries. However, it wasn't really codified and systematized up until the kind of catalyst, and I've talked about this in other programs, Rerum Novarum was a papal encyclical penned and released in 1891 by the Pope of the time, Pope Leo XIII, and people still debate the document to this day. Is it socialist? Is it capitalist? It is neither. It condemns socialism in places. It hates capitalism far greater. It believes that private property is subordinate to the common good, i.e. social justice. It says, I quoted that earlier. All rights, it says in paragraph 171, 72, I could quote loads of places here, but I'll just quote here. All other rights, whether they are included, including property rights and the right of free trade, must be subordinate to this norm. The universal destination of goods, a term that was used by, this is quoting from Paul VI, but this is a quote. Universal destination of goods is a term that was used by Pope Paul II. Very, very common. Must be subordinate to the norm. They must not hinder. They must rather expedite its appropriate application. It must be considered a serious and urgent social obligation to refer these rights to their original purpose. So, long and short of this is, and I did a program dealing with this issue, liberation theology, various forms of Marxism that comes out of the Roman Catholic Church, from Roman Catholic theologians, by the way, seriously, from within their ranks of people they see as authoritative and all this kind of stuff. My major point, if you can take away this, it is not unjust. There's nothing that says you deserve a certain amount. If we look at what we truly deserve, biblical justice says this. Your sin demanded wrath. Demands wrath if you're not in the Christ, if you're not washed by the blood of the Lamb. social justice says we deserve X, Y, and Z. We deserve exactly the same things as, even if you can show that there's white privilege, which is complete nonsense. But even if you can show it, even if all the social justice warrior guys are right, what do you deserve? Truly consider what you deserve. Now, we don't want tyrannical governments. No. But imagine what you truly deserve. A criminal before God. It will change how you view the world. You're going to seek mercy for your those who are outside of Christ, first and foremost, because biblical justice is far more important than social justice. God's law is far more important than the law of the land. And even if you are right, your priorities are wrong. And not only that, you've substituted biblical justice. This is what the social justice warrior movement does. And even at its most orthodox level, it substitutes in justice, biblical justice, the law of God, what it demands, wrath, the wages of sin is death, and it substitutes in, I deserve X, Y, and Z. I deserve houses. I deserve... Now, they might say, well, the poor. There's... Let's look at John MacArthur. How are we doing for time? All right, 34 minutes. Okay, so about 30 minutes. So let's look at John MacArthur's articles. And again, nothing really too controversial in them. He talks about how, you know, things we'd all agree with and say amen to. We deplore racism and all cruelty and strife it breeds. Amen. It comes from sin. The problem is sin. What should we call people to do? Repent. Not for what maybe your grandparents did, or in large case didn't do, just why? Why do we all white people have to repent? Oh, because you share the same skin color. Oh. That's really terrible. What if, I don't know, that's not quite the same thing, but okay, you know, say male parental baldness is passed on from generation to generation. Am I going to ask, you know, if somebody, some bald person does something terrible in history, should I? Of course, I'm being facetious, but the human race is one race. We share different appearances in terms of melanin in our skin, but we are one human race, and we're either, in a biblical sense, either one of two races. We're either in Adam or we're in Christ. And what's the beauty of that? Oh, you know what? If you ignore that, you're a colorblind racist. And apparently then you blame the victims for the situation they're in. I'm going to quote here from one of these advocates. Not going to mention his name because there's many of them out there. And don't give him any more traffic, if I'm being honest. Talks about colorblind racism, and he says, and colorblindness has proven the most viral society-wide vehicle for maintaining this racial status quo. We have shown in the last post that colorblindness is not a biblical ethic. Here I would like to, as briefly as possible, discuss colorblind racism, and that racism, colorblind racism, okay. I want to treat black people, Asian people, you know what we call black people. Seriously, I mean, can't we just all be, if we're in Christ, we're Christians? I want to treat you exactly the same as anybody else. There might be different cultures, you might have a different background, you might have a different upbringing. But if you're living side by side, it says, here I go, as briefly as possible, discuss colorblind racism, and that is racism without confessing racist. The racism that doesn't see race. What in the world? I don't know how to respond to that. And the racism that eschews, shuns, all racial explanations for current disparities, what are you talking about, economics, detrimental policies, and continued segregation. Let's talk about a couple of those. What disparities? One. Do you mean the high black-on-black killings? I think it's racist to look at it like this, that it's because of their skin, and rather to do with worldview and their hearts. Those communities need the gospel. The same nonsense has been peddled up in Northern Ireland. Oh, you know, the segregation and all this kind of... Look, here's the thing. There are people who are genuinely born again. Okay? And there are people who are Roman Catholic who despise their guts. Seriously. Now, are there horrible people on the other side, loyalist side, and all this kind of stuff? Yeah, of course there are, you know, for anybody listening. I know that. But there are people... To be a Protestant in Ireland, historically, has been a very dangerous thing. And there are more moral issues, say, take drinking, for example, a more moral decline in Roman Catholic areas because they don't know the Lord than there are in Protestant areas. It's not because Protestants are internally better than other people, but because if they are truly born again, if they're not truly born again, then it's, well, they're just as bad, if not worse, who knows. But if they're truly born again, truly have new affections, a new heart, then they're going to act different. They're going to treat their properties different. There's going to be differences. And in those areas which they live, the property's probably going to be a little bit more expensive because people want to live in a peaceful area, generally. And there are problems, go to whatever own Catholic country you want to name, Italy, Mexico, whatever, Ireland, you know. Gambling and drunkenness and name your vice. It's like, oh, well, the same thing happens in Northern Ireland. Yeah, because there's been a falling away, a moving away from biblical Christianity in this province. Detrimental policies. Again, it's, oh, systematic racism. It's just a lot of buzzwords with no explanation, no clarification. Let's look at one example. As we stand today with the median net worth of white families about 10 times that of black families. Yeah? So? With the poverty rate among black Americans at 21% compared to 8.1% for whites. So? Does that mean you have to prove, not just say, well, this person is less, again, a socialist or social justice warrior or whatever will come into a room, see one person. See, before it was in the Committee of Social Justice, the Marxists and all that, it was the poor versus the rich. Because in America, that won't sell because I think, I don't know, 80, 90%, I think they did polls, I can't remember where exactly, still believe in the quote-unquote American dream. So they believe you work hard enough, most people believe you can succeed. But there's a large section of the black community that's been stuck in a spiraling, because, you know, they've been fed a lot of this from the Democrat Party. You know, look what they did to places like Detroit, the Democrat Party, the policies and stuff like that. That are in this, well, rather than, you know, work hard, obviously their situation is more difficult. I'm not discounting that at all. When you come from a poor background, regardless of what your background is, and if you want to, you know, get into a better place or whatever, then it is more difficult starting at a disadvantage. But should I just say, you know, I work hard, my grandparents worked hard, etc., and so on, that there shouldn't be a privilege, and yeah, it's a privilege, for You know, it's like white privilege or something like that. Are we going to start saying that about Asians soon? Asians work incredibly hard to go into college. They're just really, really diligent. Are we going to start? See, it's popular to be anti-white. Look at the coverage, the non-coverage of the slaughter of South Africans of white South Africans. Now, is there violence against other groups as well? Yes, there is. South Africa is a very violent place. But of the white South African farmers, and it's been justified, and the Western media couldn't care less. Oh, that's just the alt-right. I've talked about the alt-right. They're disgusting, racists. Let's move on. Let's actually deal with the facts. Because when the media does not cover actual racism in, you know, places like South Africa and places like that where whites are being killed, it doesn't sell because they can't have the statistics of, you know, they have no money either, da-da-da-da, you know, like, because they can quote the statistics, they have so much of the land and all this. Why do they have so much of the land? Maybe it has to do, not with racism, but how they treat, again, values. Why do we patronize the black population so much? It sickens me. These social justice warriors are just the biggest hypocrite racists. Seriously. And why do I say that? Because they patronize and treat black people like they're stupid. Are you saying that that in America, where a place where somebody like Barack Obama became the president not too long ago, that and many people, black people, are in rich in different sectors of society? Maybe not as much as you'd like, you know, whatever. But is there anything actually holding you back? Because nothing holds you back more than a victim status. I mean, for a long time, the Irish, well, still do, unfortunately, had a victim status. Though the whole world's against us, etc. and so on, and it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. Because the other side, the side that you hate and the side that you're bigoted against, becomes the great aggressor. Because why? Because they have more stuff. Because they have less poverty. Now, it's a little different in America. There was systematic racism right up until, I don't know, it's the 1960s. There's been racism everywhere. But are we saying today, it just baffles me. It absolutely baffles me. So, just going to look at John MacArthur's comments on the whole issue of race and all that kind of stuff. I hate kind of dealing with this kind of stuff. Can we just not treat everybody the same? And not segregate everybody into different groups and have white culture, black culture, and all this. How about Christian culture? There's aspects, by the way, of my Irish upbringing and heritage that shouldn't be brought into the church and needs to be repented of and left behind. Part of Irish culture, by the way, is heavy drinking. What do people do on St. Patrick's Day? There you go. That's Irish culture. I shouldn't bring it with me. Why should a... regardless, name your group, black person, white person, anybody else, bring some, like, the rap music is disgusting and what it sings about. It's sinful. Repent of it. I'm not saying every single rap artist or anything like that. But if you look at the direction of Lecrae and all this kind of stuff. But I digress. He says, is the controversy over social justice really necessary? And near the end of the article, just as John MacArthur, it's quite common these days for Christian leaders addressing this issue to call the people who have never harbored a racist thought to confess the guilt of racism because their ancestors may have been racist. And notice how it says, may have been racist. And he's right. Expressions of repentance may have been demanded by white evangelicals for no actual transgression, but because they are perceived to have benefited from white privilege. And you have to prove why that is wrong, even if... Oh, my word. I mean, what... How... Ay, ay, ay. Supposedly, their skin color, says here, automatically makes them culpable for the racism of the past. One influential evangelical leader in the article titled "We Await Repentance for Assassinating Dr. King," that's to be Deanna Beulah, suggested that racial reconciliation in the church cannot even start until white Christians confess their parents' and their grandparents' complicity in murdering a man who only preached love and justice. Talk about racism, condemning an entire race for the actions of some. And not even the same generation, not even the same people. Racism is deplorable, disgusting. Did it exist in the past? And by the way, there's plenty of black against white racism that is not condemned at all and is completely justified in the name of this divisive and schismatic rhetoric. But of course, they'll disagree with me on that. This kind of ideology, well, we got some time, can lead into very dangerous places. I talked about liberation theology. Let's look at it briefly. Thomas Aquinas, in his Summa Theologica, had this idea of social justice as well. He said, "The bread which you behold belongs to the hungry. The clothing you shut away to the naked, and to the money they bury in the earth is the redemption and freedom of the penniless. But because they are many in necessity and cannot all be helped from the same source, it is left to the initiative of individuals to make provision for their own wealth, for the assistance of those who are in need. If, however, there is such an urgent and evident necessity that there is clearly an immediate need of necessities, the necessary sustenance, if, for example, a person is in immediate danger of physical privation, and there is no other way of satisfying his need, then he may take what is necessary from other people's goods, either openly or by stealth. Nor is this, strictly speaking, fraud or robbery." So in certain situations where need makes it necessary, need makes it common, other writers would say, it's okay to steal. This kind of thinking can lead to the point of, I've been treated horribly. My race, my skin color has been treated horribly. We're poor. We must take back what belongs to us. Because when you have a victim status, it's a lot easier to steal and to go into sin in order to rectify something. You know, people look favorably upon, you know, Robin Hood and all this kind of stuff. Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. That wasn't a good thing at all. The New Deal. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Influence, I don't know to what degree exactly, but it's been widely regarded that John A. Ryan, who was a Roman... John A. Ryan was a professor of moral theology and industrial ethics at Catholic University in Washington, D.C. He also taught at St. Paul's Seminary and the National Catholic School of Social Science. He was founder, author of Social Action Department of the National Catholic Welfare Conference. Now, at the back of this book, published by, what is the publisher's there, Westminster John Knox Press, says here that during the first half of the 20th century, John A. Ryan advocated minimum wage legislation and child labor restrictions and was very much involved in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, basically socialism. Influenced by Rerum Novarum and other the Catholic social teaching. More closely connected with the makers of the national economic policy as a Catholic moral theologian than his better known Protestant contemporaries. Walter Rauschenbusch, I can't pronounce pronounce his name properly. Written about by Daryl. Sorry, brother. I'm terrible with names. Daryl B. Harrison, Walter Rauschenbusch, and Reinhold Neuber. You want to find out about kind of social justice? John A. Ryan. His influence has been exclusive in American public policy. And, you know, he had a big influence on the New Deal. And he argued for a minimum wage, again, because of this view. He said things like this: private ownership of land belongs to a third class of natural rights, and it is not an intrinsic good, but merely a means of human welfare. It differs from life and resembles marriage. Now, it's not a private property, is not a right. You don't have a right to your own stuff. This allows for the redistribution of wealth, based upon perceived inequalities. And what equality? When you talk about, you have to define your terms, because one person will say equality, another person will say equality. Equality before the law, we should all strive for. Equal balances, equal scales, all this. Absolutely. However, this is not what the social justice warrior advocate is, or the socialist, or whatever term you want to use, is fighting for. Equality of outcome. Everyone gets a prize. Everyone comes first. Everyone gets the same thing. I can't see it working too well. It sounds a little bit like communism. Because why? You will work harder if you are that person. Going back to your analogy earlier, you know, one person's got 1 pound, one person's got 10 pounds. That person with 1 pound needs to work hard and save and build and innovate or whatever in order to get to that status. If the person with 10 pounds just gives away half his money in order to help the other person, you might squander it. And that person with 5 pounds, again, repeating very much almost verbatim a lot of words, Chrysostom's point, he's going to find ways of getting back there. People are good at making money, even if they lose their money, will often make it again. And a bait and switch. They'll see inequality. Inequality is wrong, and I'll point to parts in the Bible where we should be fair, just, loving, etc., to all people, etc., and so on. But at the same time, equating that with equality of outcome. Nothing should guarantee, and who are they looking for to provide this? I don't know. I really didn't even want to cover this issue. I glanced at a number of articles. But it's this whole thing. I deserve, name your stuff. Name your, going back to the compendium social doctrine of the church, and this is how they side with the poor. And this is why the Catholic social gospel, transforming society by social act, by works, the regeneration of society, it's almost identical. And what happened with Protestantism and that worked side by side in all these social, they worked side by side in a very ecumenical way with Rome. Actually adopting the social teaching, the governmental policy teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, often without even realizing it. The human rights. And think about this. Look at this. It sounds good, doesn't it? Human rights are listed here, some of which are the same. It's only listing some of them. Food. Everybody should have the same food, according to this. Well, we talk about communism then. I have to work hard in order to put food on my children's and my family's table. Work. You have to, and it doesn't sound good, the right to work. Well, what are you going to do? Force somebody to give somebody a job? Make it very hard for somebody to let somebody go? If you make it very hard in a job to let somebody go, I can guarantee you they're going to hire fewer people. Why? Because it's so difficult to get rid of them when trade might slow down. It's not because they're being nasty, uncaring capitalists. They have to take care and be fruitful and not be squanderous. It's why public companies make no money, because they make decisions based upon public opinion, not what will be economic advantageous and what will make a profit. Access to culture. You know, everybody should have the same education. You know, like, there's no advantage for the parents to work hard to transportation, basic health care. That's incredibly basic. It's controlled by the government completely. Freedom of the communication and expression. And protection of religious freedom. So, and it says in the next paragraph, the common good, social justice, therefore involves all members of society. No one is exempt from cooperating according to each one's possibilities in attaining and developing it. Who's going to enforce this? The government will. And it's who wins in such a situation. Again, it is not complete communism that's being advocated by the Roman Catholic Church. And what it does is it brings in collectivism. Who is going to make sure that, you know, like according to this article, it's complaining that there is what, you know, disparity, you know, there's not this, you know, this higher rate of poverty, 21.8% compared to 8.8% of whites. Well, it's, you know, they have higher crime rate. Are we going to blame that in the system or blame it on the people who are carrying out the crime rate? Again, black and black murders are massively high. Are we going to blame? If you're a criminal, regardless of what skin color you have, you're going to be harder to hire. You're going to get worse jobs than other people. If you go to prison for a while, you're not as employable. Also, let's talk a little bit about the whole, just the silliness. You know, because, you know, sometimes there's black churches and white churches and all this kind of stuff. Why is that? Often there's a lot of pressure as well on black people to, quote unquote, act black, which is racist as well. And there's a lot of racism within black communities against white people as well. A lot of racism in every group, by the way. Why is that? Well, often the theology. Now, if people cannot go to a church and they don't feel welcome because of the color of their skin, that is racism, that is disgusting, and that is wrong, and they need to repent. But show me the examples of the racism, we'll point it out. Show me the positive examples, rather than, oh, this church is all black and this church is all white. What if in that community the born-again Christians just happen to be all white, or they happen to be all black, or they happen to be majority black, or whatever? Does that mean segregation, or does that mean that's what Christ's kingdom looks at like that in that area? Or, you know, they'll say, well, one church is black, one church is white. Well, differences in theology. Differences in theology. Often a lot of black churches tend to be very Pentecostal. They believe different things. And you might have maybe a predominant, and there's a lot of black people who are more, it seems to be more and more of them coming towards Reformed theology, which is praise the Lord. But just say, like, a church is predominantly white, and it's in a predominantly white area. It's got nothing to do with skin. It's just what the people of God look like in that area. Now, if it has something to do with they're driving people away, then that is sinful. That is wrong. But you have to show such an example, not statistics, and say, well, you know, this, you know, in this area, it's all white. And this, where is the segregation coming from? We should. Because often these churches have very different theology. Let's be honest. The theology is what separates the churches at times. And a color of skin should never, ever define the church. Ever. I can have unity with a brother in the Lord who had in the program before, Conrad Mbewe. Brother in the Lord is doing, you know, the Lord's using him to do fantastic things down in Africa and Zambia. Praise the Lord for him. And other people the Lord is raising up there. It's wonderfully encouraging. Vodi Bakum went down there to help out. But I don't think praise the Lord because they're black. I say praise the Lord for this brother, who's my brother in Christ, who the Lord is using to teach, to feed the flock of Christ. I'm not thinking I need a certain percentage of black people. No, the church needs, the visible church needs to be made up of people who have a credible profession of faith, regardless of what they look like. Period. End of story. And if the way people look comes into it in what the church should look like in a physical sense, that is sinful, that is wrong. Does a person have a credible profession of faith? We should be open to all those, I'm talking about church membership now, who have a credible profession of faith. We don't know their hearts. I don't know what else I can add to the situation, what add to the controversy. In some ways, it's quite simple. If people have stuff that they'd like me to deal with directly, but it's a lot of empty, hollowed-out words that sound really impressive, but when you deconstruct it, it's not really saying a whole lot, and ultimately gets down to this. One group has less stuff than the other group, therefore it is injustice. And I say, not necessarily. You have to prove the injustice, not just because your friend has two, say, you know, like maybe, are you going to say, right, using the same logic, that, I don't know, people in Hollywood are stealing from you because they have far more money? Defies logic. Or CEO of a company has more money than you, therefore it's injustice. Because people talk about economic inequality and, you know, because one area is poorer than the other. The Irish went to America and were some of the poorest people in America for a very long time. Why? Because of discrimination against the Irish? Or because of often moral depravity within drunkenness? If you're a heavy drinker, you're not the person who's in work on time and you're first person in, last person out. If you're not that person, don't expect to be a business success. It wasn't because the Irish were victims. They keep repeating that over and over again, this victim status. I just pray, brethren, I don't care what you look like. Do you know Christ? Are you an Adam or are you in Christ? That's the only division anyone should care about. That brings true unity, and that brings reconciliation, the reconciliation that matters between a holy and just God and a people purchased by the blood of Christ. A people chosen by the Father before the foundation of the world. If you've got any questions, any show suggestions, or anything else, miguelofilms@gmail.com. Talk to you again soon.